Our gospel reading comes from the gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter, beginning in the 15th verse. Jesus said, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." This is the word of God for us and many, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You pray with me. O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I think if we're honest, and as Christians we ought be honest, sometimes Jesus says things that just don't seem to make sense. Sometimes Jesus asks us to do things that make us go, "Wait a minute, Jesus. What are you on about now? You want me to do what?" Perhaps you feel that way when you hear Jesus say that when somebody strikes you, turn the other cheek. Jesus, no, that's not how we do things. Turn the other cheek. No, I'm going to give just as good as I got. Or we hear Jesus talk about giving everything to the poor. Or when someone asks for our coat, give them our cloak as well, or go 2 miles when they ask us to go one. Jesus, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't seem effective to what we do and how we live our lives. Sometimes it's baffling. I think it's okay to admit that we get confused sometimes. And in fact, as the church, it is our duty to walk this road together, to help one another understand more what the gospel means, to allow us to come together and have our lives, our very way of living, molded and shaped by the good news. That's what it means to be the church. Though sometimes I wonder if the church in and of itself is not baffling. If this being the way that Jesus chose to continue his ministry seems like the best call, right? Because what is the gospel? The gospel is that God the Son, came down in human flesh, born of a virgin, walked the earth for 33 years, taught, corrected, called people to follow a kingdom that is not of this world, healed the sick, fed the hungry, proclaimed release to the captives. Then he died, was raised again, and ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And yet we know that that was not the end of the ministry. Instead, Jesus said, "But you, my friends, my disciples, my community, you go and continue doing it. You go continue to proclaim the good news of what God has done for you. For the entire world, in fact. Tell the good news that is summed up perhaps most easily in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to die, that all who believe in him may not die but have eternal life." Jesus says, "You, my friends, go and do it." And so for 2,000 years, the ministry of Christ has been called to be continued by the church. And what is the church but the people? Right? Perhaps you know that old song, I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. Really, Jesus, that's what you want? You think that we can do what you did? You think that we as a community will be able to get along enough and stay focused enough to do what you did and do it as well as you did? No, Jesus, that can't be right. Send the angels down. They can get it done. No, Jesus, we'd rather you not ascend. Can't you just keep leading us here physically with us? Really, Jesus? People? Broken, sinful people? We can't get along for one day, Jesus. How are we going to do it for thousands of years until you return? It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense sometimes. It seems like certainly there's a more effective way to bring about the kingdom of God than using us in all of our faults. But Jesus would have it no other way. For when Jesus calls us, when Jesus saves us, redeems us, he does so that we can continue that work. So that we can leave behind what was in the world, what is broken, and focus our attention on something greater. And unfortunately, my friends, sometimes that's going to mean we're going to have to be in a relationship with people we don't really like. Sometimes it's going to call us to walk this road with people we'd rather not walk this road with, that we don't seem to have a lot in common with outside of coming to church. People that we'd rather talk about than talk with. Because at the end of the day, my friends, we have to ask ourselves the question. We as a gathered group of people, how are we different than the other gathered groups of people out there? What separates the church from, say, the Optimists, the Lions Club, Kiwanis, Rotary, name your civic association. What's different about the church? Are we different? If somebody had never been in the church before, but they were a lifelong member of some civic association, they came in, would they see anything different? Do we do it any differently? Certainly the difference can't be that we do good for the world. They do good for the world. No, but perhaps one of the things that does set us differently is our commitment to stay in this together, even when we want to run away. To stay in relationship with people that we'd rather just leave. Just disappear. Because, you know, that's one of the things, and I've been a part of some of those civic associations. I was a Leo, which is the Junior Lions Club, many, many years ago. If you're at a meeting, which meets about once a month back then, we did, and somebody says something that you don't like, the president of the committee says, you know, we're not going to listen to what you're doing. If they don't do what you want to do, you know what you do? You just don't come back to the next meeting. You find another Lions Club a town over. It's very easy to just walk away, or to use the language of people my generation, to just ghost them. To just disappear. Or easy, maybe stay there, but you kind of hold that grudge. Anybody here ever held a grudge? Anybody here still holding a grudge? And instead, you just go and talk about them. Right? Maybe you get lunch with a friend and you say, you will not believe what Joe did to me last week. You will not believe what he said to me. Well, did you go, oh, I'm not going to go tell him. Tell you. And we're going to talk, and you're going to agree with me that he's just the worst. And we'll just keep stewing. We say we'll get over it. We won't, because chances are he'll do it again. Till eventually we just say, you know what, I've had enough. I'm going to walk away. I'm cutting you out of my life. The church does things differently. We hear Jesus' words today. That when somebody sins against you, Jesus doesn't call us to gossip. He doesn't call us to go talk bad about that person all around town. He doesn't tell us to go and do the same to them that they did to us. No, he says, go. Go talk to Joe, or whatever the person's name is. Tell them what happened. Let them know the way that their actions, their words, have impacted the lives of other people. But don't do it so that you'll make them feel bad and you'll feel better about yourself. We're doing it to continue a ministry Jesus started. A ministry of reconciliation. See, so often in our world, when wrongs are done, we think we have to even the score in some way, shape, or form. What Jesus is really calling us to do is to stop keeping score. To be the church, to be different. To remember who we are. Which at the beginning of every day and the end of every day is sinners in need of forgiveness. People estranged from God needing to be reconciled with God. And also realizing that every other person in the church, people we sit in the pew with, our best friends in the church, and the person we'd rather go to a different worship service than, are all equally sinners in need of forgiveness. We're all at the same place. The same gift of salvation given to me is the same gift given to you. The same gift given to that person that you're glad isn't here this morning. And when we start with that place, when we start from that place, it takes pride out of it. So if you do something to me that bothers me, I don't have all of that pride to say I am better than you and you need to say sorry. Instead, like Jesus, I just come to you and say our relationship is broken right now. I'd like to fix it. You know, you did this thing, you said these things, and that really, I really found that to be not right. And not in the hopes that you will feel bad about yourself, but in the hopes that together we can reconcile this relationship. That we can be honest that not everything is going right, but know that by the grace of Jesus Christ it can. Because one of the great ways about looking at it that way, my friends, is that when we have been sinned against, we stay humble in trying to correct it because we know that as soon as we have corrected things with our friend, we might get a knock on our own door the next day. Somebody might call us and say, you know, Matthew, you said this thing and that really hurt me. Just as easy as it is for somebody to sin against me, I can sin against somebody else. I think we can be honest about that. And in our honesty, look back to the gospel. Look back to the good news of what Christ has done for us. To know that through Christ, all things are possible, even the restoration of a relationship with the person you dislike the most. Because it's not about us, my friends, is it? It's about Jesus. It's about the one who makes this relationship possible in the first place. Because this is the love and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ that ties us all together. There's nothing that we can do, even our most heinous sins, that can ever break that tie, ever. We can rest assured knowing that even when we mess up the most and hurt somebody we love the most, that tie of love of God remains intact. Because we know what has been done for us. And we know that when we are together, God is with us. And if God is with us, then God will not let any little disagreement or any big disagreement break apart what God has formed. Because what God has formed will be how God brings about God's kingdom for us, for the people we love the most, for the people we hate the most. In fact, for the entire world. Amen.